My favourite films, because that's got more relevance to the world today. Art, I think, art is the saving grace of the, you know, if we can't understand.
Well, there are movements. There's a movement in California where they actually worship art.
Really?
You're joking? They worship, really?
No, there is.
I can almost understand that, because it's like that the Woody Allen film, Hannah Ann and the Sisters, and when Woody Allen was going through all these religions, knew it was racking his brain to find out the answers of the universe and why we're here, and he's just about to kill himself because he can't deal with the question, and he's in a daze, and he goes for a walk, and he steps into this cinema, and he sits down, whatever film's showing, it happens to be the Marx Brothers, I think it was Duck Soup, and at that moment he thought, well, look, I don't know the answers, but right now I'm watching this film and I'm enjoying it and I'm enjoying life. And maybe that's the answer. Maybe it's just enjoy art.
Well, that's the waiting room, basically.
People's enjoyment, though. People's enjoyment is subjective. There are people whose enjoyment is having sex with children. There are people whose enjoyment is killing people.
Well, absolutely.
So to say you can just enjoy your life and that's okay, but that's the meaning.
That was not an important
thing. That is completely...
See, what you're doing there,
irrational.
You're following an old Greek philosophy called hedonism. Came from the ancient Greeks. It's just basically saying that your personal needs and your enjoyment is all that matters in life.
Right.
It's got its place, but it's not... It's not key.
And no, but I'm saying what
the fact that we get joy from something, does that mean that it's right as well?
No.
Is joy subjective to what? If we like something, is that okay?
If it involves someone else,
anybody else.
Yes, I mean, it involves someone else.
I mean,
cocaine.
It's like don't worry so much about while we're here.
Enjoy yourself.
But just worry about being accountable for your existence. And that is an atheist point of view, because it doesn't come in, you know, it doesn't ask about why we're here.
It just lives for the now.
It's
Nowism.
Perfect.
Nowism. That's a new one.
Nowism.
You can be the new archetype of
Nowism. You can be a Nowist.
No, I'd rather
like a Maoist or a Taoist.
Saffron Planet. Making sense of it.
Something's very keen for us to talk about films, I think.
No, I just as an alternate subject.
You're just more keen about films and evolution.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the evolution of film.
At least I know where films finish and end.
Okay, best film in the world. Does anyone have an opinion on
No, that's the hardest question.
That is a hard question.
Donnie Darko.
It can be subjective, so obviously what's good for me won't be necessarily good for you.
What you could say, your favourite.
Two films come to mind. One is Groundhog Day.
Yeah,
I like Groundhog Day, and because I love Mel Brooks, High Anxiety. I've always loved that film.
Cool. Louis, two films?
I can't think of films.
Borat, it up.
I quite like
Borat.
Oh, we've talked about that.
I know, so let's change it. We'll edit that out. I like. I don't really like films.
What are you thinking about? Anyone else got
any two films?
Well, one that whenever I watch it, I get a different, like. It always has something new in it. Donnie Darko, even though it's quite a cult film, quite a teenage sort of view. I like it quite a lot. It's quite oddball. It's quite interesting.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Sunday Times.
And just one comedy. I don't know what comedy. Any? Just can't think of one. Any?
Marx Brothers.
Yeah, probably Marksman from Duck Soup. Duck Soup. Or
Simon, come on.
Or there's so many.
Aficionado, yeah. Simon Marksman.
I've got like top 100. I don't know. Any Charlie Chaplin film. And also E.T. I cry every time.
E.T. Always cry. Terrible.
I love E.T.
E.T.
Saccharine, isn't it?
Steven Spielberg should have been removed his title of good director for that.
Yeah.
Which spelt the other way around is DNA. See, it's DNA.
Yeah, yeah. I prefer Close Encounters. Close Encounters actually quite a strong message to that. Don't know what it was, but it was
Oh, Wizard of Oz.
Really? Yeah. It's got some dark undertones.
Oh, it has.
He was one of the gnomes in it.
Not a gnome. What's it? A munchkin?
Oh, whatever.
Munchkin.
Did you see the scene?
Munchkin's fine.
Did you see the scene? Apparently, there's a munchkin hanging from a rope in the background of one of the scenes. It's not one of those weird scenes. If you actually pulls it, you see a...
Well, apparently...
I was only five when I saw it, so I don't think I would have noticed.
Apparently, something like there's a Pink Floyd album or some big rock album that matches perfectly with The Wizard of Oz. The film.
Really? I've heard of some things like that.
Gives me an idea.
Ameros Peros, I thought the film.
What was it?
Ameros Peros, but it's not. I wouldn't want to watch
recent
it now.
Films I quite like. The very, you know, my favourite film of all time is The Third Man.
Oh, with Orson Welles.
Is that Graham Greene?
It's a great. Yeah. It's a film noir classic.
Yeah. Talked about him last week.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, he was a womaniser. He was anti-Semite.
He
was horrible.
He was a bit of a weird one. He lived in Haiti, didn't he?
Yeah.
Is that set in France?
No, in...
Germany, Berlin, was it?
Berlin or Austria. Yeah. It's the borders, it's straight off the war.
Yeah.
Fantastic film. It is a great film. Yeah. So, noir is the genre I like most.
Well, have you seen a recent film, 2006, called Brick? It's a film noir style set in a US high school. And all the characters are talking in this noir sort of beat. But it's all set in a high school in California. It is the most original film that I've seen in years.
Really?
It's an amazing Brick. I'd definitely go and see that.
How can it be original if it's doing a...
But it's the concept. It shakes up the whole genre. It is so good. The acting is brilliant.
Really, High School Musical.
That's a good film.
That was on yesterday.
There's a scene where one of the boys is really embarrassed about being in a theatre play because all his friends will probably hate him. And by portraying this feeling, he's singing a song while the whole of the dinner hall are dancing and singing along with him.
It's like real life.
About him being embarrassed about being in a play, you know? So
how about Mad Hot Ballroom? Along the same lines. It's a great film.
Yeah.
That's not much of a film.
That was interesting. It was a documentary about a dancing competition by New York
little
school
11-year-olds.
But what was interesting about it, there was no voiceover.
Yeah.
The kids sort of, just by listening to the kids talking, that was the narrative.
I like Spinal Tap.
It's very good.
Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
Major.
Was the first film of its kind in that sort
I mean, The Office was really, I mean, he took a lot from that. Yeah. The sort of
I liked the Snow White before it was adulterated.
not in a dodgy version.
Oh, those were the days.
Walt Disney is
pureness and simplicity.
Oh. Great game, if you ever get bored, it's called Disney Innuendo. You just put on a Disney DVD and you just fast forward, just click play and just listen to it and see if it sounds dodgy. Many, many times it does. It's a great game.
So, how are we going to tie all the strands of this conversation to something that's meaningful?
Anyway, evolution.
The evolution of film. Okay.
Yes, I never watched it. Did you ever see,
going right back to the 20s, the battleship, was it?
Potemkin.
Yeah.
Yes, I saw that recently, actually.
Yeah, I saw that, and you do see how many things have come from that film. Even I'm not a film buff.
Eisenstein, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing, the cast,
camera angles,
massive cast, and the pram going down the steps. And,
yeah.
It's just.
Tell what film I really like. The London Nobody Knew.
Is what?
London Nobody Knew.
Oh, we talked about that.
Fantastic trancy scene at the end of the tramp singing a Yiddish song.
Yeah, that is. That was weird. It was just a snapshot of London 40 years
terrifying
ago.
Terrifying.
When was it? 60s.
It was 67. James haunting. Mason walking around East London, mainly it's North London.
It's haunting.
And it's just looking at these faces. You don't see faces like that anymore.
Yeah.
Really beautiful faces.
Yeah, beautiful, ugly faces, but totally unaware of the camera.
Yeah.
And just eating and talking and just looking.
Drinking
dead eyes.
Spirits.
Distorted.
Yeah. Yeah. And
little kids fighting each other in the street.
Yeah, it's just something about that. It's, you know,
really hypnotic.
Get it on Amazon.
Haunting.
What's it called?
The London Nobody Knew.
The London Nobody
Knew. It's on YouTube as well, the whole film.
Yeah, you can see the whole film on YouTube. Again, I can't see how this is in any way relevant to anything we're talking about. But
people like mindless music.
But does anyone have a particular angle that is relevant in terms of films?
Every film, the most iconic thing that always seems to happen nowadays in a film is someone dying for someone else. Somehow, there seems to be this thing in every film, just a general theme of sacrifice.
Well, you know, there's only about four or five themes in general. You know, film themes and every
props character types.
Yeah.
There's only six
characters. I think Spinal Tap, the whole Spinal Tap. We talk a bit about Spinal Tap. It's entirely with music or humour.
What? Music and humour. That's what everything.
Tragic.
Okay.
Tragic.
What about evolution?
Evolution.
Okay.
Evolution.
Well, as I've never seen, apart from the Amplified going up to 11.
Have you ever seen it? Oh, you've got to see it all. You've got to.
Is that good?
You've got to.
You see?
It's definitely on my top 10 all time.
That's because you identify with it.
I can identify, but the first time I saw it, I mean, I know somebody in it as well. I know the keyboard player.
Do you?
Yeah.
Still?
I haven't seen it since I left LA.
All right.
And what about your aunts then in the Magical Mystery Tour?
Well, my auntie Jessie. Yes, well, she was a drummer actually in real life. And she played Ringo's Auntie Jessie, but she's actually my Auntie Jessie.
Yeah.
And there is
you're
Storm
Ringo.
Of her. Pardon?
You are Ringo.
Yeah, I am Ringo.
Therefore,
I'm Ringo. So all those voiceovers for Tom Sanger.
You've missed out on royalties again, haven't you? You've missed out on some royalties.
Yeah, I did, I know. It's murder. But yeah, she actually, they filmed her doing a lot of drumming in that, but that was never used. I'd love to get hold of some of that.
Her drumming?
Yeah, in the Magical Mystery Tour, but they didn't use it.
It's probably too good.
Probably was, to be honest.
Put into shame.
She was very good.
Apparently, they said before that he wasn't even the best drummer in the Beatles.
Really? Paul McCartney was the best drummer, isn't he?
Paul McCartney can do anything.
Yeah. Apart from Mary Deeson.
Yeah, except have a marriage for more than half a decade.
Louis,
half a
marriage for half a decade.
That is...
Louis, we want to hear your joke. Cut it out. Heather Mills.
Heather Mills McCartney's got divorced with a £4 million settlement.
£24 million.
£24 million settlement. Now she can stand on her own 2 feet.
That's terrible.
What baby needs £35,000 a year?
Yeah.
Well, I would have done.
She needs £30,000 for wine.
No, she doesn't drink.
But someone made a good point. If she's so into charity and charitable, just give it all to charity and go away.
Yeah. Just get Paul McCartney to send the money directly to charity
without
even going through her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well,
send it to, like, abuse victims who genuinely need a divorce husband.
Saffron